I want us to look today at Obadiah. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 21. The title of the lesson today is The Fall of the Eagle. Now, this is Sunday, July the 23rd, 2023. We have one more Sunday left in this month. It is hard to believe we are getting ready to face and look at August coming around the corner. But today, this lesson is lesson number 9, and it's entitled The Fall of the Eagle. There was a group of people here called the Edomites. Anybody know who the Edomites were? The descendants of Esau. And several times there in the book of Exodus, it talks about, the Old Testament scriptures talk about Esau is Edom. Esau was Edom. And you know, the thing here I want you to understand today is that pride always goes before a fall. Pride always goes before a fall. I don't know if they were still going to do it yesterday, but they were looking to have another pride march downtown. Did they do that yesterday? I think they said they were still wanting to do another one. And I thought about that as that we were studying for this lesson. And pride always goes before a fall. Obadiah, verse 4 says this, "Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set the nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." I want the lesson today to speak to the hearts of both those of you that are saved and anyone that may not be saved, someone that does not know Jesus as their Savior. They may still be lost in their sin. I want each of us today to understand something. There are happenings in our world going on around us today that shows us God's judgment is nigh at hand. Boy, our country, our nation, our world is facing the judgment hand of God. And we have turned our backs on God in such a wicked manner. And God spoke to this man, Obadiah. We've been looking at how Amos had been used of God in a great way. And we looked at the verses here in Amos. We looked at Joel. We looked at Hosea. We looked at all these that we refer to as minor prophets, only because the volume of their books was not a great big volume. But I want you to understand something today, folks. Never forget that the world around us still needs to hear truth. They need to hear truth. This week as I was at the hotel, I witnessed the folks there at the hotel. And many of the folks that I talked to there had heard the truth of the Word of God. Some had been saved. Some had not yet made a decision for Christ. And the fact is, the world needs folks like Obadiah, like Joel, like Amos, like Hosea, like each of you, who are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, do not be ashamed of what God has done for you. Do not be ashamed of the message that we have to teach and to preach and to declare unto folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of that. We have the Soul Winning Club training program to be able to help you to be able to take the Word of God and in love and in kindness to share that message with folks before it is eternally too late. And I want you to understand, God's hand of judgment is coming upon this land. It is coming. And it's going to devastate a lot of people. A lot of people that don't think that God is going to do anything about their sin, they're going to be devastated when they find out that God still hates sin. I want us to look at the lesson today. I want you to look, first of all, at the introduction here to the book. And I want you to see the man. There's not much mentioned about this man. His name, Obadiah, it simply means worshiper of God or the servant of Jehovah. He was the servant of God. And there are a lot of scholars today and renowned men. They've attempted to gain more knowledge about this man, but there are probably 8 or 9 times that the name Obadiah is mentioned throughout the Word of God. It was a popular name because everybody was wanting their children to be a servant of God, a worshiper of Jehovah. Some of these Obadiahs that are mentioned were kind of compromisers, but the man that we're going to read about here today was no compromiser. And he did what God told him to do. I want to look at his times. The times here, this man, there's not a lot that tells about it, but if you look in here, Obadiah seems to quote exactly the same verses that Jeremiah quoted over in Jeremiah chapter 49. I was trying to find in my little concordance some verses that were the same or may have been mentioned other places to see where they were related. And Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 14 and 15, talks about the very same thing that Obadiah, we read here in verses 1 and 2. And Obadiah here says, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. And if you'll read in Jeremiah chapter 49, you'll see the very same thing mentioned there, that Jeremiah declared the same thing. So I don't know if these two men work beside one another. I don't know. But it puts the time to be about 850 years or so before the birth of Christ. And here, in this little book of 21 verses, as we look at this one little book, it's only comprised of one chapter. There's 21 verses basically in it. But there are some fiery proclamations from the Lord God of Israel. God is trying to get these folks to understand that he still hates sin. And he's going to make an example of Israel before the heathen nations, because God still cared for those heathen nations as well. He wanted them to come to know him as their Savior. But they despised and they rejected God. And they went against Israel. And I want you to hear, to see here how the destruction of Edom is predicted here. God gives Obadiah some information, and Obadiah declares that information. Now, I want you to look at it here in verse number 1. We see the call to battle. And when I say the call to battle, I'm thinking about Brother Rob Ward. Is he still hurting pretty bad? He's a little better today? Okay, all right. All right, he's kicking, but not real high, okay, right? Right, okay. Pray for Brother Rob. He had knee surgery this week. And he went home the same day, right? He did go home the same day, all right? But pray for him if you would also, okay? Let's look at Obadiah chapter 1, verse 1. We read these words again. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. I want you to notice here the divine source of Obadiah's vision. He didn't have pinto beans and raw eggs or anything like that for breakfast or lunch or supper and had a vision in his dreams, but God gave him this vision. God showed him what to say to the people of Israel. I want you to look at it. He said, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God. God sent Obadiah as an ambassador to the heathen. Now, you and I today, according to the Word of God, we are also ambassadors. You knew that, right? You are an ambassador. You are an official representative of the kingdom of heaven, of the Son of God, the King of glory. You are his ambassador today, even as Obadiah. And secondly, I want you to notice the object of this vision. The vision of Obadiah, he said, it's concerning Edom. Okay, Edom. Now this one little chapter, 21 verses, is designated as a divine sentence of judgment. It's sent as a message of judgment against those whose hatred, not only for God, but for the people of God, the people of God that had caused them to determine in their hearts they weren't going to serve the Lord. They were not going to live for God. They were not going to turn to the God of Israel. They did everything that they could do to do away with the people of God and with the memory of the Lord God. Kind of sounds like our world today, does it not? Sounds just like what the world is trying to do today. Scripture teaches us that Edom is, in fact, as you know, it is Esau. He was the twin brother of who? Jacob, right? And Jacob, God later called what? Israel. That's right, Israel. He changed his name to Israel. And you can go back to Genesis chapter 25, verse 30. You can go back to Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 through 3. You can go back to Genesis chapter 36, verses 1 through 8. And you'll read about these facts about Edom, about Esau being Edom, and the hatred that Esau had for his brother. But you know, I looked at a passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 137. 137, verse 7. And it's interesting to read this, what the psalmist David wrote. He wrote these words. He said, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who say, raise it, even to the foundation thereof." Now, you look at that word, R-A-S-E. That is not the same as R-A-I-S-E. When you R-A-I-S-E, you're lifting something up, okay? You're raising it, you're exalting it. But when you R-A-S-E, or sometimes in some places it's spelled R-A-Z-E, it literally means to erase something from existence, to erase it, to do away with it entirely, to pull down, to destroy to the uttermost, to erase and make level with the ground. That was Edom's desire of Israel. That was what Edom, the descendants of Esau, wanted to do. And God saw that hatred, that open hatred that the people had for the children of Israel. And that name Edom literally means red, okay? It means red. If you remember when he was born, he was red. He was hairy, he was red. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 25, okay? If you'll remember also, he sold his birthright. You remember that? He sold his birthright for something temporal to satisfy the lust of his flesh. He was hungry, and yet he was willing to give away that which was most precious unto him just to be able to have something that would satisfy momentarily. He sold his birthright for a pot of pottage. As a matter of fact, history teaches us that King Herod, remember in the days of Mary and Joseph, King Herod was there and he was introduced to the wise men who were looking for the king of the Jews. Okay? King Herod was himself, he had been placed in power by the Romans, and he also was an Edomite. He was an Edomite. He was a descendant, one of those of the descendants of Edom. And God used the pagan nations surrounding Israel oftentimes to bring God's judgment upon them. He used the pagan nations around them, and he allowed Edom to do things for such a while. But it got to the point their hatred was so bad that God said, this is not going to continue. And we look here at something. Not only is the call to battle seen, but the pride of Edom is seen. Now, I want you to notice this today in verses 2 through 4. we read here Obadiah announces something, and he says this. He said, "Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." Now, does that not sound like what we are hearing today? With the pride marches and the pride parades, and people are proud of their sin and the rebellion and the defiance of God. It sounds just like the same thing. And the pride, the Edomites were known to have dwelled in the land of Petra, in that area that was basically impenetrable. No one could get to it. And they thought, boy, even God can't do anything with us. But God showed them that he was able to do all that. And you know, pride goes before a fall. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. And the Edomites were full of pride. But their pride, even as with Lucifer, would be the thing that would bring down God's wrath and his ultimate judgment upon them. Lucifer said in his pride, remember, that he was going to lift up himself. He was going to lift his throne above the throne of God. He was going to exalt himself above God. And God cast him down and created that place called hell for him and those fallen angels. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And even so, as Obadiah is now predicting, he's foretelling what's going to happen to Edom, the two can be seen. The results of Edom's pride is that they're going to be brought down to destruction by God also. Edom had said that no one could defeat her. No one could take her down. No one, she would be like an eagle soaring above everybody else, and no one was able to reach her. But Edom was wrong. And while Edom exalted herself as an eagle and tried to make herself look like she was just so great and wonderful, the Bible talks about how God has declared here that though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence, from there, from that high exalted place that you've set yourself, God said, yet will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Kind of sounds like the Titanic, does it not? The Titanic was supposed to be unsinkable. Even God couldn't sink it. And yet it's laying two plus miles down the bottom of the ocean. And the little Titan submarine that thought that, you know, he was going to do the same thing, and he named his thing after the Titanic, the Titan, the one that was going to be able to go and do great things, and they can't even find their squished up bodies right now. That's a sad thing when pride lifts up a man, and yet God says, no, I'm going to take you down. I want you to look at verses 5 through 7. We see the plundering of Edom. Look at this. He says, "If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Edom prided itself. Okay, they took pride in its wealth, in its prosperity. And in so many words here, God was telling them, I'm going to take it all away from you and you're going to be left desolate. You know, pride is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. And they were lifted up with such pride, but God said, I'm going to destroy you. You're going to be completely, utterly wiped out. You'll have no self-pride. You'll be left desolate, and you'll have none to stand with you. And the moral story, basically, of this, if you want to put a little moral story with this, you could basically put on their epitaph, don't mess with God. Don't mess with God. Folks today think that, oh, God's just some little old man sitting on the throne somewhere. Somebody's got to keep him awake and all this other stuff. But God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a compassionate God. But there's coming a day when God's compassion is mercy, and mercy is going to stop. And God's hand of judgment is going to come upon them. And you know, the moral of the story is, don't mess with God. Why? Well, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And folks, when you reap, when you sow the seeds of sin, and you row after row, you just plant seeds of doubt in people's hearts about God, and you call God a liar, and you do things contrary to the Word of God, there's coming a day those seeds are going to come up. And I know a fellow that told me one time, he said, well, I'm just planting some wild oats. I'm just sowing my wild oats. And I reminded him, I said, well, brother, just remember something. One day those seeds are going to come up. And when you plant one seed, a lot of things come out of that one seed. And folks, the consequences of sin today, we're seeing it all through our land. All through our land, pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. That's what Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 18. And you know what? Our land today needs to take note of that. People today need to take note. Christians need to take note. Listen, we may think that we can get away with sin. You can't get away with sin. Even a child of God cannot get away with sin. I remember telling our kids to not do something. And I found out they did something. They did something wrong. And I came in and I confronted them with it. And I had to give them a spanking. Well, we gave them whoopings, okay? We gave them whoopings. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but up here, they got whoopings, okay? A difference between a whooping and a whipping is just one stroke of death, all right? There's just a difference, okay? But we did that because we did not want them to go back and do wrong. And you know what? My children, bless their little hearts, and they're facing it today, and I'm so glad. It just tickles me to death when they have to go through that. But you know what? They said, but such and such, Daddy, they didn't get a whipping. They didn't get any punishment for it. Why am I getting punishment? I said, because you belong to me. They don't, okay? And God was trying to let Israel know, listen, you belong to me. You're to obey me. And listen, folks, we need to learn to remember we belong to God. We're His representatives. And God is going to whip His children. He will chasten His own. So stay close to God. Listen, the world thinks it has so much knowledge and wisdom that they can literally outsmart God. They think that they can do things and they don't need God because they're smarter than God. But folks, they're wrong. The devil has deceived them. They are wrong. The Bible reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to turn there just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to look at verses 1 through 7. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told him, he said, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." I believe we're seeing some of those perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. "For men shall be" what? "Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Let me stop there just a minute. It is not natural that a woman would want to kill an unborn child. That is not natural. That is just not natural. It is not natural for men to marry men and women to marry women. And now, stalk after children. And you mark my words, bestiality is the next thing on their list. To legalize these wicked abominations. It's not natural. They're without natural affection. Truce breakers. You know what truce breakers are, don't you? They, Democrats. He said Democrats. I guess you could sum it up with that. But you know what? I've seen them on both sides of the fence, folks. They're on both sides of the fence today. And you know what they need to do? They need to stand on the line of the Word of God, the plumb line that we looked at last week. Listen, he said here, "They're truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors." Boy, we got those in the White House. "Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form," something that appears to be outwardly, "a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such join up." Is that what it says? "From such turn away." Get away from them. Stay away. Don't associate with them. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of" what? "The truth." They've got all this knowledge and pride, but they have no truth. Never forget the fact, folks, that you and I don't preach earthly wisdom. We preach wisdom from God. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. He said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Edom's wisdom came from man. Therefore, Edom's wisdom was going to fall under the judgment hand of God. And there was no way that he could escape the slaughter that was coming." In verse 9, God reminded them, as one commentator put it, he said, "All then failed Edom. All their acquaintances, all of their allies, all the folks that had been with them, they failed them. Their allies, their friends betrayed them. God took away their wisdom. And wisdom was turned into witlessness, and courage was turned into cowardice." That's what happened to Edom. And the Bible said, "To the end that everyone from Mount Esau may be cut off by slaughter." I think God was serious about what he was telling these folks, don't you? He wanted them to know that there was slaughter coming. I want you to look at the crimes that are depicted here of Edom. Look at it here in just a moment. I want you to see the object of Edom's mistreatment. Look at verse number 10. "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." You see, it was Satan that instigated the violence against Israel. As far back as Genesis chapter 4, you can read about how that Satan instigated hatred, brother against brother. Cain had the opportunity to get right with God. God gave him that opportunity to offer the right sacrifice, to do the right thing. And yet, what did Cain do? Cain rose up against his own brother and he slew his brother, shed his own blood. Why? Because he chose not to do what God said do. Folks, that was the situation with Esau. And now judgment came against Esau, who was Edom, because of his own brother Jacob, who would now be called Israel. They had taken out their hate, their violence against their own brethren. Then I want you to look at the listing of Edom's evil deeds here in verses 11 through 14. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither should thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither should thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the days of distress. They rejoiced in the day of demise of Israel. When God's hand came upon Jerusalem, Edom laughed and laughed and laughed and said, "See, that's how much your God loves you." Listen, God's judgment came upon Israel because God did love them. And God made a promise. He said, "I'll bless you. If you'll obey me, I'll bless you. But if you disobey, judgment's coming." And God kept his word. They spoke evil against the people of God. Verse 12. And what wickedness. You look at verses 13 and 14. The wicked attitudes they had toward them. It's unbelievable all the things that they did. I don't have time to go through all those right now. But I want you to look at this. He comes down to verses 15 and 16. When the day of Edom's doom is now defined. It's described. Look what he said. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Boy, think about that. As they had hated the children of Israel, as they had treated them so wickedly, so unkindly, so treacherously, they had done things against them. They had laid wait for those that escaped, and they sold them into slavery or put them to death. As it had been done unto them, now it's going to be done unto Edom. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. I'm reminded of a Bible verse from Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. And this is what the Bible said. David wrote there and he said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." And all the nations that forget God. If you'll notice here, when God is defining Edom's doom, he says something here in the very first verse. He said, "For the day of the Lord is near upon what? All the heathen." All of them that turned their back on God. All of them that came against the people of God. All of those that treated Israel in the wrong manner. God said, folks, judgment is coming. It was coming upon Edom. It would come upon them. And he was telling Edom the same thing. They, as well as the heathen nations around them. If you'll look right now, if you put a little red dot on Israel, and then you put a little green dot or whatever on all the nations around them, all those nations around them hate Israel. They all want that one little piece of land. They want to divvy it up, and they want this little part, and that one wants this little part, and this one wants this little part. But one day, God is going to give it all back to Israel, and they're going to have it. I told you once, but I'll say it again. The book of Galatians says, be not deceived. Don't let the devil trick you. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit goeth before a fall. And you know, this is another reason that I know that God's judgment is not going to be put upon Christians during the tribulation time. God's judgment was coming against all the what? All the heathen, those that knew not the Lord God. Man, I'm glad I'm going to be raptured out of this place when the judgment hand of God comes down. And I want you to understand something. Woe unto those folks that try to change the truth of God into a lie. I don't know how many of you got to see Pastor's message Wednesday night, but it was good. But Pastor mentioned something I wanted to share with you today in my lesson. He mentioned something today about how that they are mocking God, and they're calling the King James Bible of naught. They're calling it nothing. All these new versions are coming out. But they do indeed, as Pastor mentioned in his message, they have now come out with a Queen James Bible. A Queen James Bible. Pride has lifted them up to do this. I looked it up this past week. They're sold on Amazon. Everything's sold on Amazon. But I want you to listen in the blindness of sin. And it broke my heart when I read this because these folks are blinded by Satan. In the blindness of sin, they openly defy the truth of God through their own prideful desire to change the truth of God into a lie. And this is what it said on their advertisement, okay? It's got in big letters, the Queen James Bible. It's described as a gay Bible. And it tells how the Queen James Bible is based on the King James Bible, but has been edited to prevent homophobic misinterpretation. They also describe homosexuality in the Bible. And the advertisement says this: homosexuality was first mentioned in the Bible in 1946 in the Revised Standard Version. All right, in 1946, when the Revised Standard Version changed the word to homosexuality, God told about that sin long before 1946. It was called sodomy. Sodomy. They say there is no mention or reference to homosexuality in any Bible prior to this. Only interpretations have been made. Anti-LGBT Bible interpretations commonly cite only 8 verses in the Bible that they interpret to mean homosexuality is a sin. 8 verses in a book of thousands. Now, this is on their advertisement. The Queen James Bible seeks to resolve interpretive ambiguity in the Bible as it pertains to homosexuality. We edited those 8 verses in a way that makes homophobic interpretations impossible. They have changed the truth of God into a lie, and they're proud to announce it. Now this goes on. They say, they mention this in their advertisement. Who is Queen James? And they blasphemously, they just blaspheme, and they answer it this way. They say, the King James Bible is the most popular Bible of all time. Now, they put that in their advertisement. Not the ESV, not the NIV, not the all this other mess. The King James Bible is the most popular Bible of all time, and arguably the most important English language document of all time. That's the first sentence in their description here. It said it was the brainchild and the namesake of King James I, who wanted an English language Bible that all could own and read. The KJV, as it is called, has been in print for over 400 years and has brought more people to Christ than any other Bible translation. Sounds good so far, doesn't it? Commonly known to biographers, but often surprising to most Christians, King James I was a well-known bisexual. They lie. They lie. And though he did marry a woman, he had many gay relationships. And they were so well known amongst some of his friends in his court, he was known by them as Queen James. Folks, the devil has got folks blinded today. This is what Pride Month is all about. This is what the pride debt. It is in his great debt and honor that we name the Queen James Bible so. I can't even go on and read the rest of this stuff. They quote Bible scripture and tell how that you need to come to Jesus through their Bible. Folks, Satan has deceived many people. But one day there's going to be a restoration day for Israel. Edom was going to be destroyed and all the nations that went against them. But God promised in verses 17 through 21, he promised that his chosen people would one day have the land that was promised unto them. They would, without a doubt, be restored. And their joy, once again, would be restored when they found out who Messiah truly was. And folks, you know what Obadiah is basically telling us today? Is that when you know Jesus, you know peace. If you do not know Jesus, you do not know peace. And the whole thing is this. There is a day coming for the people of God. The only way for us to see the peace of Israel is for the Lord to come back again and do away with Satan. And when Satan is done away with, we will have peace in Israel. There will be peace. There will be joy. There will be restoration. But until that day, you and I have a job to do. And that is to teach truth. Obadiah taught truth. And folks, that's what you and I have got to do today. Obadiah was not ashamed to stand true to the Word of God. The Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But how will they know without a preacher? How will they know without someone to declare the message of the gospel to them? And that's what makes your job as a Christian and my job as a Christian so important today. Let this book of Obadiah help you to see the need to be a stronger Christian. Judgment is coming. The eagle is fallen. And I hate to think that that may be the eagle of the United States as well. Let's turn folks to Jesus while we can. Father, I love you today. And I know, Lord, that this lesson is a hard lesson to look at and to understand just how wicked people can be. But Lord, when we look at our own land today, our own world in our modern day, we see that sin has not changed. And neither has your word changed. God, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Please help us, Lord, today to be willing to take the message of the gospel, even to those who deny it and disclaim it and mock it and make blasphemous remarks about it. God, help us to be bold in the power of the Spirit of God and to tell them about Jesus while we can and before it's eternally too late. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.